who she is. I thought for a minute that...
She's the cat lady.
Yeah, but there was a time when I thought that she was somebody famous. I thought...
Well, she's famous for being the cat lady. She's been around for a long time.
Can you clarify what we're talking about?
Because cat lady can mean any number of things. I thought... Now, see, when I first saw her picture online, I thought that she was the wife of somebody rich and dead and famous. Like, I thought she was, you know, whatever, like... Some, you know, some Gianni Versace type guy, you know, fourth wife, whatever, lives in Barbados, obsessed with looking like she's 19 years old, because she is the single most unattractive woman I've ever seen in my life. She is the single most...
I don't know, I have a picture of Star Jones on my site today that's pretty bad.
Seriously, I'm telling you right now, if you had to do one or the other, if you had to do whatever her name is, what is her name?
Jocelyn Wildenstein?
See, does anybody...
Wildenstein?
Tim, ring a bell. You know who she is?
Who?
This woman on the screen. And that's almost a flattering picture of her, relatively speaking.
No,
you know what I'm talking about?
I've never seen her.
There are photos of her. I mean, that's enough to put you off eating for the rest of your life.
Well, we joined a thing in mid-progress here.
Hello. It's 1 minute and 38 seconds after the hour of 11 in this month of November, the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming by live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970, Solid State Radio. This, my friends, is the Rick Emerson radio program. And there's this woman. Like, here's what it is. And I actually put her name into Wikipedia at one point, trying to find out who she was, and then I never could. Because somebody on FARC had posted a picture of her. And it was some sort of a... There had been some awful photograph of something or other, like some terrible photograph of a car accident, and they were trying to post other things to sort of get it out of our collective heads, and somebody posted a picture of her, and then all it was just like ugliness on top of filth. It was just like cigarette butts on top of old anchovies at that point. It was doing no good. I realize it's not making any sense to people who are listening. Sarah, did you post it?
Is I'll she post it now so that you know.
People, you go to Sarah Excellent's blog here in a while. She's going to post a picture of... really the most unattractive person I've ever seen in my life, which is saying something. And that's, relatively speaking, that's not even the worst picture of her. Is some woman, is she from one of those, like, extreme plastic surgery shows?
I think, she's not from one of the shows, but I know she actually had cheek implants and, like, forehead implants and everything to make her look more like a cat.
Oh, really? Are you, I thought you were kidding.
That's why she's the cat lady. No, she...
I thought it was incidental. I thought it was sort of an accident.
No, no.
Like when they say, hey, butt face. But you're saying it's as though she'd really had things put into her face to make it look like a butt.
Mm-hmm.
Except not a butt. Cat. So that's not an accident. She really did want her face to look like a cat.
Yeah.
This is the
I'm
weirdest
not saying,
opening.
Yeah, I'm not calling her cat lady
well,
for
no
reason.
No, but I thought you were saying...
Like that, then like the same way Lil' Kim is.
Yes. You know who else kind of looks like a cat? Is Jenna Jameson. Take a good long look at Jenna Jameson, and I know you have. Take a good long look at Jenna Jameson sometime. Jenna Jameson, I mean, she's a very attractive woman, obviously. She's hot and all. You take a look at Jenna Jameson, she's got cat eyes. It's kind of weird. She kind of looks like, and I'm just saying, not that Jenna Jameson isn't hot, but I'm saying you catch her at just the right moment, at just the right angle, just the right light. Jenna Jameson kind of looks like, what's his name? Beast from Beauty and the Beast. Just around the eyes. Just a little bit. I was, and here's the thing, and I'm going to say this right now, because it's long ago and far away, as Meatloaf would say. I used to work with a woman who, I swear to God, just day to day, she walked in the door, she looked exactly like Ron Perlman on Beauty and the Beast in full Beast makeup.
Really?
It was the weirdest thing. She had like the weird, kind of, I can't even describe it except to say that if you know the show Beauty and the Beast with Linda Hamilton
and Ron. I showed you that that's coming out on DVD, right?
Chicks love that show. There is no show that chicks love more than Beauty and the Beast.
And didn't he live in the sewer or something?
He did. And then the opening was all like her walking above a sewer grate with lots of steam coming out. And I wasn't a big fan of that program, but I know many women who were. But I used to, if you picture Ron Perlman from Beauty and the Beast in his full animal makeup, and then just picture him as, you know, working in a sales cubicle somewhere and wearing a dress. That's exactly what she looked like. Anyway. Hello, it's 503-733-2970. It is the Rick Emerson radio program. It is Thursday, and welcome to Day 12. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. We thank you for coming along. See, no, I've already got emails about it here. About the cat lady. Oh, no, this just says it's 2 minutes into the show. How can you possibly be so far behind already? Best show ever. Have a nice day. Oh, here we go. Rick, I thought so, too, about the cat lady. I think she's the ex-wife of a rich executive, a CEO or something. She's been in, quote, the papers, end quote, for years. I think that she is or was the wife or ex-wife of somebody famous. That's the only way. The only people who ever really look this ugly. And again, we're talking about this photo. I got to go to your website now and see if you've posted a really representative photo of her.
It is. If you click on it, it gets super big.
We're talking about this photo that Sarah's put on her website of this woman that I see all over the... Ah! Oh, God. I mean, look at that. I got to blow up the photo here so I can truly be revolted. All right. If you look at her, really the only women who ever look this ugly are women who are really, really wealthy. There is something about it, having access to enough resources that you're able to sort of have surgical procedures done that you should never have done to you. All right. Now, see, Tim Riley, look at that woman. Is that not a truly revolting woman? She's on every level?
Yes.
I mean, it's nothing but bad. All right,
you've got to move on, or else you're going to talk about the cat lady for four hours.
No, I've closed it. I can't look at it anymore because she's strangely transfixing to me. Here we go, Rick. I know exactly of whom you speak. Jocelyn Wildenstein has had reportedly over $2 million in plastic surgery to make herself look more cat-like for her ex-husband. Here is a link, by the way, he says, to the famous god-awful photo of her that you won't be able to get out of your brain. That's the photo I'm talking about right there, and I will post that. I will post this, and here's the thing. You'll click on it. You will say to yourself, I'm not going to click Rick Emerson. I'm not going to fall for this sort of tomfoolery. I'll not be taken in by your chicanery today. I will not be looking at this photograph, but here's the thing. I'm going to post it. You're going to go there. You're going to click on it. You're going to see it. And just like the tongue covered in thick, mat-like hair, you're going to see it, and you will be revolted. God, look at that. Just one more time. Just look at it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's bad.
You ought to look at that. If you're trying to find a diet or something, you just ought to crack open that photo every time you feel like eating something. God damn. All right. Well, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email us, rick@rickemerson.com. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Where the hell is my, let's see. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show.
A postman is the person in your neighborhood.
Our good friend, Mailman Chris, official stenographer of the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Hello, sir, and greetings to you.
Greetings to you. I got to say, so have you spent a lot of time... looking at Jenna Jameson's eyes?
I have. Well,
I didn't even know she had eyes.
Here's the thing, is that Jenna Jameson is now, she has rendered, somebody asked me one time to define what pop culture was, because we always talk about pop culture face-off, and how pop culture is really the only thing I know anything about, and somebody said, she said, well, what makes something pop culture? What is pop culture, as Dr. J. Evans Pritchard, Ph.D., would say. And really what pop culture is to me, the definition of pop culture, is whenever something attains a sufficient degree of fame or notoriety that it becomes known to people outside of its dominant sphere of influence. In other words, there's lots of basketball players that I couldn't name, but I know who Michael Jordan is. Even people who don't follow basketball know who Michael Jordan is. Even people who do not watch porn films know who Jenna Jameson is, just like they know who Ron Jeremy is. So if you are famous enough or you achieve some sort of notoriety so that you are known to people outside the area in which you became famous initially, that is when you have entered pop culture. And Jenna Jameson, I mean, she's had a number one best-selling New York Times book. Also, she's hot and makes lots of skin flicks. But she does. Next time you look at Jenna, I'm not saying she's unattractive. Quite the opposite. She's a very attractive woman. She's had a lot of plastic surgery, but you can't tell. Jenna Jameson is a living, walking, breathing example of good plastic surgery. Because you look at that woman nude, and you don't think that she's had a lot of work done. At least not when she first came on the scene. Like, whatever, eight, 9 years ago, something like that. Not unlike Salma Hayek. People have made the observation about Salma Hayek that she's had implants or something. But I got to tell you, if those are implants, those are about the best implants I've ever seen in my life. But the next time you look at Jenna Jameson, you look at her eyes, and they're very feline looking. It's just, which I think in a weird way kind of adds to her allure, because they do make her look kind of mysterious. So that's the only observation I'm making.
Excellent. Since you're talking about revolting pictures, did you make it to the theater last night?
To the theater last night. Oh, movie. God, for Borat? Oh, yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about, too.
I went and saw it last night as well.
Oh, good God almighty.
Oh, God.
No, we'll talk about that here in just a second, because I finally did, we went to see Borat last night, and I will not say, and I'll say this in advance, I will not spoil anything, I will not, you know, we have a spoiler, most of us on the program anyway, have a spoiler-free sensibility when it comes to reviewing films, but we'll talk about that here in just a few, because there is a sequence, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. There is a sequence, and it's not like a Jackass kind of a thing, it's not like there's some guy in a barnyard, whatever, it's not anything that is... It's not anything that is vile in the traditional sense. It's nothing that you haven't already seen in a film, but it's just that the way they do it and the length of time that it goes on for. There were moments last night during that film when I thought that I was going to lose control of my functions. I really did. There were moments there where I laughed harder than I have ever laughed at anything in my life. Tim is nodding his head because he knows exactly the sequence I'm talking about. Where it starts and you kind of chuckle and you go, oh, that's hilarious. And then it sort of escalates and you go, good God. And then you realize at a certain point that you're no longer breathing because you are laughing so hard that you can't even get air into your lungs. And then they do that great thing, and this is a little frustrating if you haven't seen the movie, but I don't want to spoil it for anybody. But then they pause for just a moment, and then it escalates to a level that you never even see coming, and it ends. And it's one of those things where you know that they must have seen it with test audiences because they had to go and put in about 15 seconds worth of just silence and nothing happening following that scene, because it takes that long in this Borat sequence. It takes that long for you to regain your composure.
Well, you got to wonder how much footage they didn't use.
Oh, God, I can't even imagine. I was reading online about the movie last night. I saw Borat, and then I went home and I looked it up online, and I saw a listing of scenes and sequences that were filmed and they never put in the movie. I gotta wait for the DVD on that. I mean, I'll buy the DVD of that the day it comes out. It was pretty fantastic. So we'll talk about that.
I would have moments when I wanted to laugh, but I had to look around to make sure that people around me were laughing. I wasn't offending them by laughing.
No, it really is true. And I saw it with how do we put this? In mixed company last night. Various genders and ethnicities, all in attendance. And there are moments in that film where you really do. And I know this makes me sound just like a guilty white liberal, but there's a scene really early on in the film where I'm sitting there in the seat, and it's like you feel, and you know what's coming. You can look at the screen, you know what's going to happen, and you feel the laugh building inside of you, like some sort of humorous belch. You feel the laugh coming, and I'm doing that thing of like looking, trying to be real circumspect about it too, and glancing to my left at the person who was sitting to the left of me last night, just making sure that they're at least smiling before I begin laughing. And you're exactly right about a movie like Borat, that there are certain jokes that if you are the only one in the theater laughing, suddenly all eyes will be on you, and you will no longer be invited to holiday gatherings. So, yeah, it's a great film.
Don't take your kids. Go see it.
Oh, Jesus Christ, no, don't take your kids. Don't take your kids, and really, if you're going with a woman on a date, make very sure that you are aware of her sensibilities before you take her to see. I would suggest that Borat is not an appropriate first date film for anybody.
No, it might be a laugh.
Unless you met her at, like, a leather bar of some kind, I would strongly suggest that you go to see something with Matthew McConaughey instead. Save this for a third or fourth date. All right, here's what we got today. Nerds riot outside a store waiting for the PlayStation 3. O.J. Simpson continues his rocket slide to hell. We have the worst story ever right here. This one does not involve an eyeball. I don't think. I'm trying to find a key phrase here. Well, we have this phrase from the article. Police claimed he noticed it lying in a ditch. There you go. That's the phrase from today's worst story ever. Police say he noticed it lying in a ditch. There you go. What else do we have here today? We got the final pair of tickets to Tim Conway, Harvey Korman. Let's see. Lisa Goddard will be joining us today. We're continuing our attempt, by the way, to come up with a new name for Lisa Goddard. She wants to ditch Goddard and go with a different last name. And the great thing about this is, and she pointed this out yesterday, that if somebody, it doesn't even have to be us, if somebody in the audience can come up with a new last name, think about how weird that is. That actually, I mean, if she and her fiance, if they get married, they have children, someday after you are dead and gone, there will be people walking around on this earth that you named. Which is that you don't know, that you've never met, that live thousands of miles away, that you are not related to in any blood sense, that you have given a name to. So she's looking for something that has an air of delightful intrigue. Lisa Goddard from CNN is looking for a last name to take when she becomes married. Delightful intrigue. That's the key phrase there. What else? And, we will get to yesterday's high concept email. We didn't get through it yesterday, but we will do it today. So there you go, my friend.
All right. Now, does the offer still stand for him to recommend Emerson to Lisa Goddard? Maybe take 5 push-ups off?
No. No, he blew it.
No, there's no way to do it now that doesn't make me sound like a stalker.
All right. I was going to say, because you're at 50, and if you take 5 off and get to everything, that would leave you at 42.
I don't believe there's... I can't think of any casual way to really slide that into the conversation. Because otherwise, it's just going to sound like I got a roll of duct tape and a bone saw handy. You know what I mean? And that's no way to a woman's heart. I mean, I guess technically the bone saw might be. But
you got Nerd Ride over PS3, OJ's Rocket Slide to Hell, Work Forever, Gorman and Conway tickets, so the last pair of tickets. Lisa Goddard's high concept idea.
Yes, that is what we've got, sir.
Excellent.
All right. We will check it. All right, there you go. We will check in at the end of the program. There you go. Thank you. All right, it's 503-733-2970. By the way, the Beauty and the Beast DVD is coming out next Tuesday. And Aaron wants to weigh in and say, by the way, Ron Perlman recorded an album of poetry for the ladies during the show's height. And he couldn't feel the love until they put him back in his beast makeup. Then he recorded an entire CD full of soliloquies of passion. So there you go, Selgin. All right, we're here with the lovely and talented Sarah Dillon joining us in the studio this morning. All right, and how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Your hair looks fantastic, by the way.
Thank you.
And here's the reason I say that, because you got the... Now, can I say how much that... can I say that the cost of that hair, if one was to go in and get what you had done to your hair, how much it would cost?
Yeah. I mean, she didn't tell me how much it was worth, but I was looking on the board. I'm like...
Can I say why? Can I say why you got here? All right. So, as you know now, Sarah's ankles have been featured prominently in Bust Magazine for this, because you do modeling for a clothing company. And they took out a bunch of ads in Bust Magazine, and there's a picture of your, what is it, like the knee to the foot?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like your feet, and then some fishnets, and then your knee, and then there's like a gloved hand or something on one of your ankles. It's a great photograph. And when is it? 2 weeks? Next week?
Well, I don't know when it's coming out. We're shooting it on Sunday.
So on Sunday, you're going to be shooting a shot of your face, which is going to be on the back of, is it the Mercury?
The Mercury, yeah.
The back of the Mercury.
For Bishop.
How cool is that?
Yeah, it's really cool. And she did so much fun stuff with my hair.
No, it is. Your hair
looks
great.
It's all like red and black and blonde and crazy.
It is. No, this is. See, and that's another one of those things that only you could make that work. Because I'm just on some random person off the street that would just look, it would look all thatchy and weird. But you somehow, like the 5 different colors you make work. So you're going to be, you will be on the back of the Portland Mercury in coming weeks advertising for Bishops.
Yes.
Fantastic.
I'm a little nervous.
Don't be nervous.
I'm actually really excited.
Have some pizza.
As soon as she got done doing my hair, I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, no, it looks good.
Cool.
Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification on this fine Thursday afternoon.
Clear Channel is finally sold. Whitney Houston faces foreclosure. Furious Michael Jackson fans demand a refund in England. Britney, come back, begs K-Fed.
Now, see, Sarah told me, well, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but you told me that this morning. Now, is this is before or after? The thing about this Britney story is...
I've actually seen it on 2 websites now. I'm just looking at it on another one.
The thing about this Britney story is that it's unfolding faster than we can even keep track of it. Because it was just like the other day. Was it yesterday, 2 days ago, where he was staying in some hotel, he was performing, and then he scrawled, F you or something on a shower door or on the inside of a bathroom?
Yeah, it was in his shower in his backstage room at the House of Blues.
And so, yeah, and I saw a picture that I haven't even chance to post it, but he apparently scrolled like, you know...
Yeah, I have it on my website.
Yeah, it was like, F you and give
it's
me my
like,
kids.
It's like, F you, I don't, F a wife, I want my kids, bitch.
Yeah, and so now he's seen the error of his ways, and he's come crawling back. So we'll talk about Britney. Oh, and I've got this great... I might as well play this now. Have we all heard the Larry King sound? Tim? Did you hear the Larry King sound from when Roseanne was on the other day? I'm going to play this now. I'm going to get this out of the way. This is... Let's see here. We'll just do this here, and then we'll take a break. We'll have Lisa Goddard. This is Roseanne Barr. She's on Larry King the other night, and she's talking about how she's become all politically active and how the internet has helped her to keep track of her political people that she's interested in. And then Larry King at one point says that he's never been on the internet, but that doesn't really do justice. Let me play this. This is Larry King, I think, from this is either last night or the night before.
On your blog, you write, Bush is going to declare war on China next, I swear.
I was scared because I woke up and there was a dredge, and I always read the dredge report. And it said on there that the Chinese were, like, spying on our subs or doing something with our subs. And I was like, oh, no, he's going to think that's an act of war, and then we're going to go over there next. I mean, we're everywhere. We're everywhere.
The Internet as a political medium, viable?
Yeah, it's like the only one left, absolutely. And that's not just me saying it. That's everybody saying it.
But there's 80 billion things on it.
Yeah, but if you know where to look, you know, it all can come together. When you're looking for the particular information that you're looking for, after you do the big search, this is what I found out by going on there. It just takes your mind, and then you live in there forever. You can never come out.
Never gone searching.
Oh, my God, it's just, it opens up the whole universe. It's so awesome. You would love it. No, anything you want to know.
The wife loves it. I wouldn't love it. Where you punch the little buttons and things.
You just click on this thing. The thing is, you got to be able to read. So you have to have strong glasses when you're over 50. And then you just scroll down and click. It's not that hard. I can show you how to do it.
No, thanks.
The best part there is when he says, what are you punching little buttons and things? Which I think I've got the...
What are you punching little buttons and things?
I can show you how to do it.
Yes, Larry. Okay. Yes, Larry, that's how you use the Internet. The Internets are a series of tubes on which you punch in little buttons and things. There you go. Fantastic. All right.
What are you punching little buttons and things?
I can show you how to do it.
No, thanks.
All right, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. We'll come back here in a few moments. We got Lisa Goddard from CNN who's going to join us, talk a little bit about the Borat. And later on, Jim Roop will talk about O.J. Simpson, and we'll discuss PlayStation 3, which comes out tomorrow. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show, live from Portland. Don't go anywhere. Play this one more time.
Where do you punch the little buttons and things?
I can show you how to do it.
No, thanks.
Fantastic. On the cutting edge. It's 503-733-2970. This is the Rick Emerson radio program. Thank you for coming by. It's Thursday. Coming up later on today, we got the final pair of tickets to Tim Conway and Harvey Korman tomorrow night. Tomorrow. Be there. Schnitzer, downtown, there's a farewell tour. Tim Riley and I will be doing the end. Right here in my hands, I have the worst story ever. I have news that hurts, and we have another review of Hanging with Hogan, which we'll get to in just a second. Plus, sad lesbian news. Let's welcome now to the... who the hell is this? Whoever this is. Levi. Hello, Levi. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, I was just wanting to put a promo in for the Glenn Danzig show at the Crystal Ballroom on Sunday.
Is that this coming Sunday that Danzig? Somebody told me about that.
Yeah.
And is that has he even have an album out or something, or is it just like he's just coming to town just cause?
Well, I think he's doing like a final. From what I understand, he's no longer touring nationwide. He's only touring in cities that he can drive home to. He's tired of touring.
Where is he? So this is basically just anywhere within like a 2-square like block radius of his house. Where does he live now?
From what I understand, he lives in California, so I'm not really sure what the deal is.
So this is just like as long as he can be home in time for The Simpsons or something, he'll come and rock your town?
Basically.
Okay, then. Fair enough. And so that is Sunday at the... Did you know who he's coming with, if anybody?
He's coming with a band called Lacuna Coil and Behemoth and some other crappy opening band.
some other reason for you to go sit in the beer garden. That's the thing about those, man, and it's like the longer that those acts exist, the more and more opening acts they pile on in front of them. You know what I mean? The longer a musical artist is around, it's like you got to wait through 9 bands to see them. I've never seen Danzig, so I got to, it's one of those things. That Danzig and it's like for the longest time, I'd never seen Motorhead. So, I don't know, maybe. Why do I keep thinking I have something to do? Oh, Saturday is Storm. That's what Saturday is. Saturday's Storm in the Balls at the Crystal. Ah, I knew I had... It's a busy weekend, man. I got the Tim Conway thing. You couldn't find three more disparate things that I got to do, by the way. Tim Conway tomorrow, Storm on Saturday, and then Danzig on Sunday. Fantastic. Are you going, sir?
Oh, yeah. I bought my tickets like 6 weeks ago.
Excellent. There you go. All right. Glenn Danzig, this coming Sunday at the Roseland. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
All right. There you go. It's So that's Levi. We'll talk to Lisa Goddard here in just a moment. I have this. I'm going to read this this bit of news first, and then we'll talk about Hanging with Hogan, and then we'll talk about. Oh, and I've got names coming in for Lisa Goddard. Now, here's the thing: is it can't just, this can't just be like our normal crap where we just like that blended celebrity thing where you just say the first thing that comes to your head. I think we've only got X number of shots with Lisa Goddard trying to suggest some last name for her. So we've got this. We've got this is from Nate. And he says, about Lisa name. See, this he's on the right path here. He's got Lisa Wellington. Wellington is good. Sounds sophisticated. Sounds cultured. Didn't we ask her about whether she'd gone to some finishing school or something? And she's now she's from some like some shack in the Appalachians or whatever. Lisa Murrow. So we're trying to find the phrase that she gave us was delightful intrigue. So we are looking for a last name. For Lisa Goddard to use when she gets married and ditches her name and doesn't wish to take her fiancé's name. So you can mail those to rick@rickemerson.com and we'll sort of give those to... I'll weed through them.
I like Wellington.
Wellington isn't bad, but see, here's the thing about Wellington. Wellington almost sounds too upper crust. It doesn't really have... It does sound... You know, Wellington is a rich-sounding name. That's what it is. Wellington makes it sound as though you did. You grew up in New England and you went to some place where you had the... you know, where the Wellington sounds like... You went to a school where you were, what's it, taught by Anne Bancroft in that character that she was in that Bridget Fonda movie where she teaches you, and then you use the salad fork. And then when you get it wrong, she slaps you across the face and sends you upstairs.
Hmm.
Maybe that's just in my head. Rick, here's Lisa Goddard's new name, Ally McBeal style. I'm not going to suggest that she go by the name of Lisa Mustang. It's cool. It's macho enough for her husband to use. It reminds me of the back seat of a car. It's fan-damn-tastic, he says. I'm not going to suggest Lisa Mustang, but thank you for playing, sir.
Uh-huh.
Rick, is Jennifer Hogan the Antichrist? Jennifer Hogan is the woman who took the place of Sarah Dillon. Not that anybody can take the place of Sarah Dillon.
No,
but
see,
Sarah...
if I was still there, I wouldn't be able to do fun things like model for bishops.
No, it's...
I would just have to keep my hair normal.
Because the entire time you were there, they were doing the whatever. They were telling you to keep your hair like...
Well, when I started, I still looked like me, and then they totally reworked me, like de-Sarified me.
Did they make you buy your own clothing?
Yes.
Good times.
But no, but the good thing is that they told me what clothing to buy.
And so...
So now I'm stuck with a closet full of clothes, like
stuff
really
you can
ugly
never,
suits and stuff that I will never wear again.
Stuff that you can never wear again. I remember people asked about that because they would see you on coin and they'd be like, what? Why is Sarah dressed that way?
Yeah.
Why are they doing that to her?
It was 4 a.m. and I would just grab anything that looked remotely clean.
You totally do.
I don't think I washed any of those clothes during the entire time I worked there.
That's fantastic. And is it, you know what? I can say this now because I don't think she's listening. You know what I caught Laura doing the other day?
Huh.
Because... I don't want to make it sound like we're all, because it's not, you. It used to be that just I would talk about like skipping a day in terms of showering, and then you would say that you don't, because you color your hair, so it's like you don't wash. How often a week?
By the way, when I was at Bishop's last night, I was talking to her, and she said all the girls in the entire salon don't wash their hair. She says that she washes her hair maybe once every like 1 or 2 weeks.
Okay. Didn't it get all itchy after a while, though?
No.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying. But I walked into the bathroom the other day, and Laura was getting ready to put on her makeup. And she had, like, it was, I don't want to say it was foot powder, like for an athlete's foot kind of a thing, but it was like a talcum powder kind of thing. And she's all, like, putting talcum. And I'm like, what? My baby, why are you putting talcum powder in your
hair? Well, that absorbs the oil.
Really?
Yeah.
But it did have, the best part is that it did have a big picture of a foot on the side of the, on the side of the bottle.
I'm not ashamed. I totally use baby powder in my hair, too.
Yeah.
It's a great, because if you don't want to wash it, like if you have color, you can just put it in your hair and it, makes it look nice.
This had some sort of hideous, and I don't think it was like if you had like a foot fungus going on, but I do think it was for like your shoes, because it had some, you know, reduces crusting, you know, or just some hideous.
Oh, wait, she was putting foot powder? I know, I use baby powder.
No, this was like, there's a like a full-on picture of a foot on the side of the bottle. So maybe there's something, maybe she's got hair that's not of this world. There's something wrong with her hair that I'm not, I'm not familiar with. But it was like a... You know, it was like a deodorizes and protects.
Why are you calling your wife out like this?
I'm not. I'm just saying that it's not, that it is no longer just you. It is no longer just, apparently nobody washes their hair anymore.
Washing your hair is out.
You still look beautiful, honey. Rick, is Jennifer Hogan the Antichrist?
By the way, you should specify you're talking to Lara.
Yes.
It sounded like you just said that to me.
I also love you, but in a sibling-like way. So Jennifer Hogan is the girl who took over coin traffic. Rick, is Jennifer Hogan the Antichrist? Recently, she continued her transition from coin traffic girl to her new Debbie Matenopoulos shtick, Hanging with Hogan. The Hanging with Hogan bit, which dealt with Fashion Week, featured Jenny Hogan modeling. What?
Awesome.
What can... It gets better. What can only be described as a teal... First of all, teal is a bad start. Even I know this. There's very few people in this world who can wear anything that's teal. Yeah, those nails aren't really teal, though. Teal's like a turquoise color, isn't it?
Yeah, this is like turquoise.
All right.
It's like turquoise greenish.
Featured Jenny Hogan modeling what can only be described as a teal... knee-length muumuu and heels. She asked... See? Aren't you glad you left? She asked a local fashion maven she was interviewing what he thought of the model. Insert long, uncomfortable pause here. Anyway, he says, I'll try to get you video of this. Anyway, so there you go. So apparently they've got... Apparently Jenny Hogan is having to model any number of terrible clothing items on coin. So we'll have to... And we're still attempting to get her on the air, by the way. But every time Scotty talks to her, inexplicably, she always has something to do. I'm going to read these two other things, and we got Lisa Goddard coming on here in a second. This is a follow-up to something that Tim read last week. And this is about the Eva Longoria Beyonce thing. They were going to make some hot chick... Brokeback lesbian thing. And this is, what is this from? This is from, thebosch.com, I think. Desperate Housewives actress denied she was tipped for a role as Beyonce Knowles' lesbian lover in a new film based on Sarah Waters' love story labeled as a female Brokeback Mountain. The movie, to be directed by Sofia Coppola, Tipping the Velvet, was rumored to have Eva Longoria, who plays Gabriel Solis in ABC's show Desperate Housewives, and the crazy and love singer Beyonce Knowles, playing the main parts as two lesbian lovers. Based on a raunchy Sarah Waters novel.
Ugh.
And every time I hear the word raunchy, I just picture some guy in like a knee-length trench coat lurking in the back of an adult bookstore. Tells the tale of a young girl who falls in love with another woman, moves to the city, becomes a stage star, falls from grace, ends up in the street... I don't know. I don't even really care.
Yeah, that's made up from the beginning. Female prostitutes who become lesbian lovers.
No, and I was just going to say, I only care about the opening paragraph, which is that at no point am I going to be able to see them making out. So at that point, I don't care. And finally today, and then we'll get to Lisa Goddard in just one moment here. She's been very patient, but I got to read this. This is from Idaho. And who knew that such things happened in Idaho? A Caldwell man has been sentenced to at least 8 years in prison for attempted relations with underage girls. Last summer, Christopher Dean, 28, pleaded guilty to one felony count of attempted lewd conduct with a minor under the age of 16. He wept Wednesday in a Canyon County courtroom as the judge sentenced him to a maximum of 18 years. He was arrested for attempting to solicit sex with three 14-year-old girls. According to Boise Police Detective Angela Munchen, Dean sought to meet the girls at... This is the mark of sophistication that really is this is the hallmark of everybody in the fine state of Idaho. Attempted to meet girls at the Boise Town Square Mall. He dressed, and it says in quotes here, in black, quote, goth clothing, and tried to hit on girls dressed in a similar fashion. The victims told police that Dean would bite their necks and drink their blood.
Oh.
See? It's you set it up for one thing, and then it goes a whole different direction. As well as... cut his own arms and forced them to drink his blood, records showed. And see, the worst part about forcing them to drink his blood is that now they will be undead zombies of the devil forever and ever and ever. There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show. In the most awkward segue in the history of this very fine radio program, Lisa Goddard now joins us from the Hill. How are you, sister?
I'm good. I don't know for sure, but I have a feeling there's a lot of undead zombies around here.
Here's the... I'm sorry, I wasn't prepared. I didn't know there was going to be humor. Yes. Wait, hold on a second. Hold on. There you go. I'm going to cue up a little Ed McCarthy there. Idaho's a really bad place, man. Idaho is among the worst places I've ever been on Earth.
And really?
Wow. Now, see, here's the thing, and I don't know if you've ever been there. I don't know if you've ever traveled through. Here's what they will try to do. They will try to sucker you into going to Idaho by taking you to a place called Coeur d'Alene. And Coeur d'Alene is very beautiful. It's on a lake. It's the outdoors. There's trees. There's a wonderful sky. Nature. You can take there's a lot of hiking you can do and so forth. Quaint little shops and interesting places to eat. But, of course, Coeur d'Alene is a place that's about one city square block. And beyond that, it's just toothless rednecks clutching guns and talking about the war of northern aggression. You know what I mean? So you want to stay away from Idaho, Lisa.
All right. I'll make a note, although I you know, I'm skeptical.
All right. We've got name suggestions coming in for you, by the way.
Fabulous.
Some better than others. There was some guy who was oddly fixated on you being named Lisa Mustang. But I don't really feel that that works. The Lisa Mustang really only does work if you're going to be working at some sort of gentleman's club in downtown Boise, Idaho. We had Lisa Wellington. Now, here's the thing about Lisa Wellington.
Okay.
I feel that Lisa Wellington is a fine name, but I feel that it conveys wealth and breeding more than delightful intrigue.
Yeah, I think that's probably true.
Wellington makes it sound like you went to some sort of all-girls prep school, and that, like, you and Tootie from the Facts of Life, you worked at a candy store or something together on the weekends, you know, I mean, to raise money for the big dance.
So it is vaguely delicious. Sounding.
Wellington? I suppose that's a fair point.
The beef, yeah.
Perhaps. I'm just going to write this down.
Lisa Goddard. Vaguely delicious sounding.
Vaguely yes, delicious. Wellington. Okay. Vaguely delicious.
There you go. We also had Lisa Throckmorton. Throckmorton sounds like you're going to be, I don't know, sitting on the board of a country club somewhere. You're going to be there deciding whether or not the golf shop is going to have open membership or not. So,
wow.
The people aren't really coming. Normally, we're very good at this kind of thing, but I...
This isn't bad. You guys are doing better than a lot of people.
I just
my friends.
Yeah. Now, what have your friends suggested?
You know, my friends really actually scoff at the idea of starting our own clan. My friends have not been tremendously supportive.
No, but see, how many? I don't know how it is where you live, where you make your residence. But here, when you get married, it is actually the only time that you can change your name for free. Actually, they don't charge you. There's less paperwork.
Right.
But when you get married, it is a one-time only thing where you can change your name to whatever you want, and they waive all of the fines and the
there
fees and whatever.
Right.
So I'm saying, if not now, when? If not now, if not you, then who?
That's right. Right, exactly.
So no,
that's exactly how I feel. I'm feeling pretty good about it. I still think. For some reason, Lisa Sports Bar still stays in my head.
Well, I mean, you know, how often does one get to revamp one's entire identity? You know what I'm saying?
It's true.
All right.
We'll keep them coming, people.
All right. Well, we'll try to. We haven't really brought our A game yet, but we'll try to do it.
We've got time.
Hey, it's a bad day for Nancy. Well, it's a quasi bad day for Nancy Pelosi.
Weird day for Nancy Pelosi.
I mean, she got. As we sort of expected, she was named the first female Speaker of the House. But then John Murtha, who was expected to be her sort of number two, they just gave that guy a boot right in the eye.
You know, this is weird. The whole situation is a bit funny. Yes, that's right. He was voted down for sure, and it probably had to do mostly with the fact that he has been involved. He's been under scrutiny in a number of cases. He's never been convicted of anything, even charged with anything. He says he's never done anything wrong. But I think Democrats are playing it safe here. They don't want to be connected with someone. Jack Murtha actually was the only person in the Abscam scandal back in the 80s, I believe, who was involved but was never charged.
This is the great thing, by the way, and this is one of the small pieces of political trivia that I know. The great thing about his involvement in the Abscam scandal, which is a phrase that comes out of your mouth a little weirdly, is that they caught him. It was either on video or on tape. And the deal is they were offering, you know, to make a long story short, they were offering bribes to a bunch of government officials.
$50,000.
Yeah, and it was basically like a big wheelbarrow of like, would you be interested in this suitcase full of cash, Mr. politician? And he actually said, this is what he said on tape. He said, I would not be interested, ... at this time.
Yes.
I mean, and that guy squeaked through with just the narrowest of margins. He very nearly ended up being taken out back to the criminal woodshed.
That's exactly, and that is, Democrats just don't want to get involved with that, even though Nancy Pelosi came out this past weekend with a strong endorsement of Jack Murtha. Nonetheless, he was soundly defeated by Marilyn Steny Hoyer. Hoyer also more of a moderate. But it was fascinating because after the election, they came out, and you know they've got to come out and say, oh, we love each other, everything's great. But it was a little odd. First of all, Nancy Pelosi called her new deputy, or her continuing deputy, called his election stunning. She said it was a stunning victory. I wish she'd said shocking. But.
Well, someday when they decide that they really need to balance the stupid freaking deficits once and for all,
right.
Really what they ought to do is some really high, some high-cost webcam where I can then see into the congressional cloakroom, to find out what really happens after things like this. Because, first of all, I will say this, that I am in favor of women being voted into positions of high power simply because I know it annoys my in-laws. And anything that will give any kind of agita to my wife, wife's parents. I am all over that. So,
excellent.
But we are reaching this weird point where it's, I mean, as you notice, it's like anybody, I mean, if you ever spat on the sidewalk anywhere, you're probably not going to go into politics because you know that you're going to be some guy out there that's going to rat you out and then the press is going to crucify you. So,
yeah, it is very odd. The whole thing is funny. It's hard to say. I think the issue is that Pelosi and Hoyer, we know that they haven't gotten along. And here they are, the number one and number two, as they're coming into power. Are they going to really get past this or not? I don't know. There's a lot of speculation about that. But I kind of, can I play you guys a cut? This is what I thought was the most interesting. The weirdest thing was hearing Pelosi's reaction after she's introduced as the incoming Speaker of the House. She'll kind of note her laugh.
Madam Speaker-elect, Speaker Pelosi.
that was just my favorite moment.
That's fantastic. Is this a sort of a, that laugh is sort of a, I'm on the knife edge of mental collapse.
That's right. It just seemed really uncertain about something.
My doctor has me on any number of antidepressants. My Xanax needs to be refilled.
House Speaker of having any kind of issues like that. But I just, her laugh, not that I'm a great laugher myself, but I just took note of that.
Hey, by the way, since we're sharing sound bites here, I might as well play you this. And I found I'll play you the full length version, which is a little, I don't know, it's about 55 seconds, something like that. But this is your colleague Larry King.
Hey, oh gosh, he's the best.
Oh God, did you see the thing that he did with Roseanne?
No.
Oh, this is fantastic. Somebody sent this to me. This is Roseanne. This is from two nights ago. Somebody asked me if this was an old clip, and it's not at all. This is actually very recent. This is from, I believe, Tuesday night. And you know, there's a whole series of great phrases out there. Most of these malapropisms, most of them from George W. Bush, where he refers to the internet as any number of things, none of them remotely accurate, all of them hilarious and confusing.
Internet, yeah.
The internet, the interweb, he called it at one point, and of course, most famously, where he referred to the internet as, quote, being like a series of tubes, end quote, which is fantastic. So this is Larry King talking to Roseanne Barr, and Roseanne, or whatever the hell her name is now, and Roseanne is talking about the use of the internet as a political force, etc. And coming right at the end of this clip, listen to how Larry King describes the internet, which he says he's never been on. He says, I've never done it, I've never gone searching. And then he guesses what the internet experience consists of toward the end here. I'll go ahead and play this for you.
On your blog, you write, Bush is going to declare war on China next, I swear.
I was scared because I woke up and there was a dredge, you know, I always read the dredge report, and it said on there that the Chinese were, like, you know, spying on our subs or doing something with our subs. And I was like, oh, no, he's going to think that's an act of war, and then we're going to go over there next. I mean, we're everywhere. We're everywhere.
The internet as a political medium, viable?
Yeah, it's like the only one left, absolutely. And that's not just me saying it. That's everybody saying it.
But there's 80 billion things on it.
Yeah, but if you know where to look, you know, it all can come together. When you're looking for the particular information that you're looking for, after you do the big search, this is what I found out by going on there. It just takes your mind, and then you live in there forever. You can never come out.
Never gone searching.
Oh, my God. It's just, it opens up the whole universe. It's so awesome. You would love it. No, anything you want to know.
The wife loves it. I wouldn't love it. Well, you punch the little buttons and things.
You just click on this thing. The thing is, you got to be able to read. So you have to have strong glasses when you're over 50. And then you just scroll down and click. It's not that hard. Show you how to do it.
No, thanks.
There you go.
Oh, my God.
Right there.
I have to hold back my laughter. I cannot believe that.
No, that is just, you know what it is? That's concentric levels of greatness there. When he says, I've never done it, I've never gone searching. Then he says, I don't do it. The wife loves it. I'm fascinated by guys who say, the wife.
Yes.
And then finally at the end when he describes using the internet as, quote, pressing little buttons and things. In fact, I think I isolated that.
Well, you punch the little buttons and things.
I can show you how to do it.
No, thanks.
There you go. He works at the nation's and the world's premier news gathering organization. He's going to opt not to be shown how to use the internet because that's not how Larry King rolls. So there you go. Never say Rick Emerson didn't give you anything.
Got to alert Don and Mike to that.
Oh, man. Oh, I would be stunned if they didn't play it today, actually. It is exactly the sort of thing.
Yeah.
And you get extra points to you, by the way, for being a Don and Mike fan. Real quickly before we wrap this up, there was, so let's, There was this call by the Democrats, and I'm unclear about whether this was official or unofficial or off the record or how it was, but there was this sort of call by the Democrats for this, what is it, like a 6, 9, 12 month drawdown of troops in Iraq, and then the military just kind of told them to go pound sand. Is this, am I even close to describing this correctly, what happened this week?
This was when General John Abizade spoke before the House and Senate committees yesterday.
All right.
But basically what he was saying, which was interesting, is he was saying he doesn't think we need an increase in American troops. He was saying he thinks we should keep troops at the same level at least for the next 6 months. But he also said he thinks Iraqis can be trained well enough so that a withdrawal could start. Perhaps that training could happen, he said, in 12 months or less.
I think he used the phrase that we can stabilize Iraq.
Yeah, that I'm optimistic about it. But he also said the next 4 to 6 months, if they don't get the violence under control, the next 4 to 6 months, that it could get out of control.
Stabilize, by the way, is a phrase they use when they can't think of any actual phrase, because we would laugh uproariously at any claim that they were. Like, if he was able to say, like, we will, you know, it'll be peaceful, we'll get things under control, the government will be working flawlessly, any of these things would just result in snickering from the press corps. So they have to use a phrase like stability, which means everything, it means nothing. And finally today, Lisa Goddard, we have some additional suggestions. We've got we've got Classic Americana. We've got Lisa Rockwell. See, Lisa Rockwell, there's a little something there. You could also double as a record producer. We've got Lisa Byron, B-Y-R-O-N. We have Lisa Turner. These are all very classic American names.
Oh, Turner, going with the CNN thing, perhaps.
And
yeah.
Then, I never thought about that. And then, now this is the best suggestion. I'm going to gloss over the guy. What is his name? I'm going to gloss over Dan, who suggests, I swear to God, Sarah saw this on the screen. She knows that I am reading this from an email. Please now to be verifying that, Sarah.
Do you have it on the screen?
No, I just showed it to you. Don't be.
I couldn't see. There was a glare.
Don't be.
Such momentum.
Don't be coy. It's right here.
I see it.
And this is from Dan, who says Lisa's new name should clearly be Lisa Emerson. And then finally we have this. This is from, who's it? Noah. And Noah has probably the best suggestion so far. He said that you wish to have a name that represents delightful intrigue. He suggests a contraction of the two, and your new name should be Lisa Deltrigue. D-E-L-T-R-I-G-U-E.
Wow, I could roll with that name. Yeah, that's kind of...
I gotta say, I like Deltrigue because it looks like it sounds. It sounds like it looks. It's easy to spell, easy to pronounce. I don't know. It's not... It doesn't scream weird. It doesn't scream made up, but it does seem... It's unique, and I don't think I've ever... I don't think that name exists in the real world.
Wow, good job, Noah.
So there you go.
That as well.
Just something to roll around your head. Lisa Deltrigue. All right.
Lisa. Ah, that's not bad.
I tell you what, tomorrow, just to try it out, tomorrow or whenever it is that we have you back on, we will introduce you. We will use Lisa Deltrigue throughout the phone call.
See what it feels like.
We'll do a little method acting, see how it works for you.
Right, I like it.
All right, there you go. Lisa Goddard for now on the Hill from CNN. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right, there you go. Lisa Goddard. Right here on the Rick Emerson radio program.
Yeah, that sounded just as creepy as I thought it was.
It was an email from a listener.
Yeah, it was.
It did sound creepy, didn't it?
It totally sounded creepy. You could tell that you were setting it up because you got all panicky. You're like, Sarah.
Well, yeah. No, I'm blushing again.
Oh, you're
again
all blushy.
Now. No, because, see, here's the thing is because when...
Somebody really did send in that email, though.
Because when I am just creepy my own self, that's fine. But when someone else is creepy and then I get tagged for it, that's when I get all awkward about it. Because
don't even act like it was their idea.
It's right here.
Yes, but we've been talking about it for days. It's not something new.
I'm not even going to read the one that says Lisa Sugar Brown, which is right here.
Sugar Brown?
Right here. Rick, this name is both delightful and intriguing. Lisa Sugar Brown. Because that would just be odd. All right. Let's take a break. Come back. Tim Riley will join us in a moment for the AM 970 Noon News Hour. It's 503-733-2970. Lisa Sugar Brown. Coming up later on, CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop. Also, Ed McCarthy will talk about the PlayStation 3. We'll talk a little Borat, and we'll have the worst story ever. You stay there.